Hello and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victor broadcast. I really appreciate you joining us today. If you missed yesterday, go back and watch it so you can catch up where we are. Some really interesting stuff that my great friend Rick Renner is bringing to us. This is a topic for today. Like, this is legitimately, we're living in the Bible days.
We are.
Right now. It's a, so what he's sharing this week is just vital to one, understanding where we're at, but understanding where we're going. So one, you can be knowledgeable, but also you can understand it and you don't have to walk in fear about it. God's got us, right? He's not just going to leave us out here on our own. Where the world's going to be going even more crazy, God's grace and his anointing and his blessing grows as well, right? He's not going to be outdone. I promise you that. And so we're here going over Rick's book this week, The Fallen Angels, Giants, Monsters, and the World Before the Flood. And it's our offer this week. So you should get this and read it. God gave this to Rick supernaturally. It just came to him. You said you wrote it within 15 days.
I wrote that book in 15 days.
It would take me longer than 15 days to read it.
Okay.
It is amazing that God just downloaded all this stuff to you, but it's relevant to today and it's relevant to where we're going. And so I don't want to take up a lot of time with introductions and all that. We did that yesterday because I'm wondering if we're going to be able to, in 5 days, like, cover all this. So yesterday we left it with Noah's Ark.
Right.
And the discovery of the Ark, and that you've been there. You spent 2 months there. And then we talked what it was like before the flood, because the word says it will be as in the day of Noah before the flood. That's what we can expect to come, right?
That's right.
And so that's kind of where we left off today. So which direction you want to take it?
Well, I want to begin by saying this book is filled with photos. You know, people love to be able to see what they're reading. And this book has photos of Noah's Ark. I mean, it really documents everything about that site. And I think it really proves these really are the ruins of Noah's Ark laying in the lower mountains of Ararat.
But you are convinced 100%.
100%. I don't have a doubt about it. Now, I know there are people who argue.
Oh, sure.
That it was supposed to land on the peak of Mount Ararat. John, it's physically impossible. It is scientifically impossible. That's a stratovolcano. If it even existed at that time, it was very small. And if the Ark had landed there, it would have been blown to bits. It would have been covered with lava. And in fact, when you go to Mount Ararat today, the lava beds are 100 feet thick.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they are massive. But I want to talk about Noah. So the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, verse 7, that God spoke to Noah. And people think, well, one day Noah was just living his life and God spoke to him. But actually, Noah came from a family of faith. And when you go to Genesis chapter 5, it goes all the way back to one of his great ancestors, one of his great grandparents, whose name was Jared. I'm going to give you a little detail here, but you're going to understand why this is important. The name Jared means come down. And during the days of Jared is when the fallen angels begin to descend into the earth. Now, the Bible tells us about this in Genesis chapter 6. It's very, very clear, and I cover it in this book. These angels covenanted together to rebel against God and to do a dastardly deed. And they decided that they liked women and they were going to descend into the earth. They were going to copulate with women and give birth to their own children, which then became known as the Nephilim or as the giants. But all of that began during the days of Jared. And Jared was prophetically named Jared because of the event that was occurring during his life. Then Jared gave birth to a son whose name was Enoch. And Enoch's name means to teach or to correct. And we know that in Enoch's time, Enoch actually tried to bring a correction to what was taking place. He tried to correct these fallen angels. He really tried to bring a correction. And Enoch penned a document. And the earliest parts of that document, the first 36 chapters, are really very ancient. And most scholars believe they predate the flood, which means the first 36 chapters of the book of Enoch, which are not Bible, but they are commentary, probably were carried by Noah in a cuneiform tablet onto the ark. And there's two other books which we think predate the flood, the Book of the Giants and the Book of Jasher. And while they're not inspired and they're not Bible, they really are commentary on events that were happening at that time.
Well, that was one of the things I wanted to ask you this week. You know, I bought the Book of Enoch 2 years ago, and I did never start reading it because I wasn't sure. I don't want to read it if it's not edifying to me, you know, but I was curious about it. I didn't understand, you know, I knew it wasn't in the Bible. I was thinking it was taken out of the Bible, but you said it never was really a part of the Bible.
It was never a part of the Bible. And the later chapters of the Book of Enoch were written much later, probably in the 2nd century BC. Mm-hmm. But those first 36 chapters were really probably penned by Enoch. And Jesus' own family put great trust in the Book of Enoch. Jesus quotes the Book of Enoch. Jude quotes the Book of Enoch. I mean, the Book of Enoch is quoted throughout the New Testament. So if Jesus' own family was quoting the Book of Enoch, yeah, I think we can take at least the first 36 chapters pretty seriously. And in those chapters, Enoch recorded this deed. When these angels met together, it even tells us there were 200 of them. And they swore an oath. They knew that what they were doing was wrong. And they descended into the atmosphere of the earth. And you can imagine at that time, these glorious creatures appearing. People looked upon them as if they were the gods that had descended from the heavens. People began to worship them. And the Book of Enoch and the Book of the Giants, which also predates the flood probably, states that it was the angels that began to teach technology, began to teach sorcery, began to teach all kinds of things having to do with the heavens and astrology. All of this came from the angels, including architecture, the ability to build, the ability to make weapons of war. None of those were taught by God. They were taught by these fallen angels, and mankind began to interface with these beings which had descended out of the heavens. And this is really important because Jesus said at the very end of the age, once again, things are going to begin descending from the heavens. We'll get back to that in a future program. But as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to happen again, Jesus said, just before the coming of the Son of Man. So during the time of Enoch, this horrible, nefarious thing began to take place, and women became impregnated. Now, some people say, now, wait, that's impossible. The Bible says everything produces after its own kind. Well, that's the way it was supposed to take place. But we know today in laboratories all over the world, we're producing all kinds of bizarre things which were never supposed to be produced, and all kinds of laws of nature are being violated. And the angels, in some way which we do not understand, had sex with women. The women became impregnated. And in Genesis chapter 6, it says they gave birth to Nephilim. That's the word giants. Well, all of that started during the days of Jared. Then Enoch was born. Enoch tried to bring a correction to it, and we know that God took Enoch. But before God took Enoch, he had a son whose name was Methuselah. And the name Methuselah is another prophetic name. It means when he dies, the judgment will come.
I just know Methuselah was old.
He was old. He was the oldest man that ever lived. But his name literally meant when he dies, it's going to end. Well, Methuselah gave birth to a son whose name was Lamech. It's another prophetic name. And the word Lamech is where you get the word lamentation. And during the time of Lamech, this interfacing between fallen creatures and angels and giants, it was at its peak. And he gave birth to a son whose name was Noah. And the name Noah means rest or a reprieve.
So he came from a long line of
people that knew God. And so when the Bible says that Noah heard from God, he didn't just wake up one day and hear a voice speaking to him. He had the writings of Jared. He had the writings of Enoch. He had the writings of all of his forefathers, faith being passed from one generation to another generation to another generation. He was born into this, being taught prophetically by his family that this event was finally going to end with a judgment. Yeah. And John, I just love this because I'm thinking about our viewers. You have the ability to pass your faith to the next generation. I think about me. I mean, my great-grandmother Miller, she staked a claim in the Oklahoma land rush, And she was a Pentecostal before Topeka and before Azusa Street. I mean, she was a real healer. And she passed faith from one generation to another generation. And Noah was kind of like that. You know, I'm not who I am by accident. I'm the result of my previous generations. So Noah heard from God himself, indeed, but he also heard it from his grandfather and his other grandfather and his other grandfather.
The seeds were planted.
The seeds were planted.
So the fallen angels were breeding with women, did it just create like giants where like it looks just like a big man, or were they creating like creatures that don't resemble man at all? I mean, is it, do you know, like, you see what I'm saying?
I cover all of it in this book, and I even have photos. But the Bible tells us, I want to read it, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the earth. And by the way, by that time, there were already millions of people. It says, and the daughters were born unto them that the sons of God. Well, that phrase, sons of God, is an Old Testament expression to describe angels. It's really describing angels. The angels saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. Interesting, they took them. It almost carries the idea of an abduction. They abducted women, and they took wives of all they chose. The word wives is really a bad translation. They just took women of all they chose. And then it says in verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God, or the angels, came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became, now here's a key, mighty men, which were of old, men of renown, and all the early church fathers. And John, the record of the early church fathers, when I say the early church fathers, I'm talking about really intellectual, brilliant men in the early church in the first 300 years. They wrote reams of information about this. I mean, just reams of information. It's amazing to me that it was hidden and people ignored it for all these years when they wrote so much about it.
How tall would a giant be?
Well, there are different accounts, but some of the giants were as tall as the cedars of Lebanon. They were immense creatures.
Have you seen, because I told you I recently deleted my social media.
Right.
Just because of the noise, right? What do you believe anymore? And I just, for me personally, you know, it's like, at the beginning of the year, my wife and I both just deleted it. But I remember seeing stuff, like I say, don't know if it's true, not true, but like doors that has this massive door that's, you know, 100 feet higher. And then you have a small door in that door where people our size can walk through. And I don't know if that's a real place, but it looked real. Are those real places?
There really are places like that, and they're
in big steps,
and they're megalithic structures all over the earth that, I mean, human beings by themselves could never do it. For example, in Baalbek, which is in Lebanon, below what is the Roman temple of Jupiter, there was an ancient altar. The stones are so big that today, with all the technology we have, no one would be able to move those stones. No one knows how they moved those stones.
Yeah, that's a big question I've had.
There had to be someone of immense size.
I feel like
to move those stones.
There was technologies, and I guess the Nephilim, you said they were bringing technologies, right?
They were.
It seemed like back when the pyramids were being built and places like you're just talking about, that they had technology that we don't have today because we don't have the ability to move the stones that they moved. And I've seen places where stones are laser cut, circles, like laser, perfect, smooth cut, that we couldn't do it today.
John, I've been to those places. And when you see those things, you know that these were not just cut with normal technology.
Yeah, perfect 90 degrees.
Yeah.
Smooth.
Oh, yeah. And now in Turkey, they're finding sites which they know are 12,000 years old, 15,000 years old. Things which predated the flood. So there's a lot of interesting things about history, which I cover in this book, but these giants were cannibals. And the Book of Enoch and the book, especially the Book of the Giants, talks about these giants, how they begin to eat everything. They begin to eat people. Then they turned on each other. And the Bible tells us they defiled the animals. Now, this is really important. That word defiled has a sexual connotation.
Like bestiality?
Bestiality. Just like the angels did the unthinkable and slept with women, the giants did the unthinkable and they slept with animals.
It almost like sound like just complete Neanderthal type monsters.
They were just monsters. But when they slept with the animals then begin to give birth to strange creatures. Well, if you study all of ancient history, you find in all the cultures around the world, they all talk about giants, and they all talk about what people call mythological creatures. But the truth is, they were not mythological. There were really a lot of these creatures in the ancient world that were very bizarre because they were a mixture of animals and Nephilim. They were just weird, bizarre creatures. And by the time that you come to Genesis chapter 6, this thing had proliferated so widespread across the earth that God knew he had to do something to clean it up. And the flood, you know, we call it a judgment. It was a judgment, but it was really a purging operation. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the word that is used in Genesis chapter 6 means to purge. It was a cleanup operation because this thing was just growing widespread. And God is so patient. You know, John, God will wait to the last minute before he has to take action. Mm-hmm. And when you come to Genesis chapter 6, we find that only Noah and his family was still pure before the Lord, which seems the vast majority of the human race had been contaminated by this angelic mixture with women. And God held out to the very, very end. And John, God is still holding out to the end right now. God does not want to judge anybody. He's waiting for people to repent before the end comes. God is holding out as long as he can hold out. And that's what he did with Noah. But finally, only Noah and his family were left. And that's then when God spoke specifically to Noah. Now, Noah had heard from his predecessors. Mm-hmm. The thing God spoke to Noah. And Noah began to build the ark when he was 500 years old. Now, here's what's amazing to me. There had never been a flood. No one had ever seen a flood. There had never been rain up until that time. The earth was surrounded by a canopy of water. The whole earth was like a greenhouse. No one had ever seen rain. And Noah, Peter says, was a preacher of righteousness. And Noah began preaching, and with every sling of the hammer to build that ark, when that sound began to be heard throughout the valleys and people could hear the construction of that ark, it was a preaching sermon that judgment is coming, judgment is coming, judgment is coming. And Noah preached for 100 years.
And they all laughed at him.
Well, think about today. Yeah. Here we are again. We keep telling people we're at the end of the age, and people say, oh, come on, give me a break. People have been saying that for 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. Once again, we're living in the shadow of judgment, and people are not taking it serious. And Jesus said it would be exactly at the end of the age like it was in the days of Noah. People would be building, marrying, doing business, just going on merrily with their life, ignoring the fact that they're living in the shadow of a major event. And John, we're here right there. Yeah. And it's our job to tell people the best we can so they'll be prepared.
Can I ask you something? You mentioned the firmament. Is there a firmament today?
John, I don't know.
Because I know people that firmly believe we can't get out of this, like rockets can't get past that firmament today. And I don't know.
Well, I can tell you that what existed before the flood does not exist. Mm-hmm. I mean, it all came crashing down in the flood.
Gotcha.
And that is one reason why, after the flood, the lifespan of people began to dramatically decrease. The atmospheric conditions completely changed.
I've wondered that.
After the flood.
I've wondered why, you had people living to 900 years old, and, you know, we're doing great to get to 100 now.
Right.
Like, what changed in that? And now we're living longer than they were living 50 years ago.
If you want to,
you're still at 100 is like a stretch.
If you want to know what that firmament was like and what it produced, all you have to do is go to the northern coast of California. And there are low-hanging clouds over the northern coast of California all the time. It's created a greenhouse effect. And the plants there are enormous. Mm-hmm. And they grow for hundreds and hundreds of years. Well, before the flood, the whole world was like that.
I got you.
And so people lived longer, things became bigger. I mean, that was just the general condition.
You probably weren't getting the radiation from the sun.
They didn't have the radiation, and so people had longer lifespans. But then it all came crashing down during the flood, and Noah and his family, now this is amazing to me. 100 years, they've been building the ark. Finally, the day comes, and God says, get on this boat. Well, first of all, God brought to him all the animals. He didn't go out and fetch the animals. Genesis chapter 6 says the animals came to him. Well, it would have had to be that way. So now all the animals are on the ship, and Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their three wives, they get onto the ship. God closes the door. And John, it didn't rain for 7 days. Can you imagine what they were saying in those 7 days? What are we doing? Yeah. We're sitting in this big ship.
I never thought about that.
They just sat there for 7 days. And I would imagine that Mrs. Noah probably said, sweetheart, where is the rain? And the sons may have said, Dad, we've staked our whole reputation. Where is the rain? But finally, the rain began to fall.
Does it mention in the Bible a reason?
I can tell you what the rabbis say. The rabbis say that God was giving people one last chance to repent. And in fact, it was written by the rabbis that when the rain did begin to fall, it fell very, very lightly, very softly, very gradually. God's attempt to wake people up one last time before the deluge took place.
Makes sense.
And when you come to 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter really describes the flood very well. He talks about the ancient civilization. Well, John, that's a whole conversation. Because in Greek, it really talks about an entire civilization which ceased to exist. There was a whole civilization before the flood. It was sophisticated. They had technology just like you were talking about. But the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2, I believe it's verse 5, that old world was destroyed. And the word destroyed that is used there is a real specific Greek word which was used to describe the letting loose of dogs to tear a victim to pieces. And it means when the flood came, it was so destructive, it literally tore to shreds that entire early civilization. It just tore it to pieces, so there was nothing nearly left of it. And that is why today, all we have left are these megalithic structures, which we find in Turkey, or we find them in Malta, we find them in Egypt. These are just remnants of an entire civilization that existed before the flood. Yeah, I think it's amazing.
It is amazing. Yeah, I mean, they found stuff here in North America.
They have.
It dates back to thousands of years ago. That kind of blows away the whole storyline of what we've been told in history books.
You know? Just imagine living in a world where giants and monsters are walking all around you. God really had to do something supernatural to clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God did.
So Goliath was a remnant of Nephilim, right?
Well, Genesis chapter 6, verse 4 says there were giants before the flood and after that. So it seems that this incursion that took place before the flood was then repeated later by a second group of angels. Now, the giants, the angels who sinned before the flood, Peter tells us they are locked up into underground dungeons. They're reserved in judgment forever. But it looks like there was a second incursion that occurred again after the flood, and that's why giants then reappeared later. And Jesus said, whatever happened then, it's going to happen again at the end of the age. And we can get into that. What's going to happen at the end of the age? What is the role of UFOs? What is the role of aliens? Who are these things that are descending out of the heavens? Are they real? Are they just the figment of people's imagination? What did Jesus have to say about UFOs? He had something to say.
I'm curious to hear.
We'll find out.
All right. Y'all got to stay tuned in for that. We'll be right back here in just a minute.
Do you watch the news or scroll on social media and think we've got to be in the end times? Because I know I have. And I've heard Rick Renner talk about how the end times would feel like the days of Noah. And he wrote a book all about that time period, The World Before the Flood. In Rick Renner's newest book, he teaches on fallen angels, giants, Nephilim, a pre-flood world, and what that means for us as believers. This book helps us to uncover the world as it was before the flood, a time when fallen angels and giants roam the earth. Using archaeology and historical analysis, Rick Renner takes you through this time period and shows you all about pre-flood civilization, where Noah's Ark currently resides, and the spiritual corruption that led to God unleashing the flood on the world. And the most interesting of it all is how it connects to modern-day spiritual conditions and end-time prophecy. This is a book you definitely don't want to miss. Order your copy today by visiting us on our website or by calling the number on your screen.
Get your copy of Fallen Angels, Giants, Monsters, and the World Before the Flood, book by Rick Renner, for $22.99. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Discover the truth rooted in Scripture. This book is a powerful warning, a message of hope, and a call to spiritual awareness for believers around the world today. Shipping charges may apply. This offer is good for 30 days.
This is the one thing that I look forward to every year, is coming here to be immersed in the Word.
You can never trade this for anything else. You know, I just wish this would be the life that we live every single day. You just wake up, come to be in the presence of the Lord.
You can get the principles of the Word on TV, and it's exciting. But when you're gathered together with thousands of people and experience it in the presence of God, it's totally different with being in person.
The teachings this week are based on Rick's book that I don't just highly recommend. You need to get this book. I got it 2 days ago, and so I didn't have time to read the whole book, but I went through a lot of it. This really, in the stuff we're talking about, it's the stuff we're talking about, but in so much more depth, right? With the scriptures and everything. So please go to kcm.org and get that book. It's about what's about to happen in this world, and you don't want to miss that. Southwest Believers Convention this year. It's July 27th through August 1st in Fort Worth, Texas. It's going to be great. Last year was amazing. This year we got some new stuff coming. Really, really encourage you to get your family down there. We got children's services. We got youth services. Come spend a week, get immersed in the Word. God will change your life, and you'll walk out of there full of faith. Register today at kcm.org/SWBC. Thank you for joining us today. We'll be back tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. I promise that. And this is John Copeland and Rick Renner reminding you that God loves you.
We love you.
And Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. To learn more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith, check out our website for free content and resources available to you on kcm.org.